Okay, folks, Dan Friel here with your market update for January 8th, 2025. So what's on today's agenda? Well, what is the market and the Fed needing from some economic data that we're getting today, this week, to really make an impact on rates and the markets? So that's what we're going to talk about. So in today's video, what we're going to talk about is ADP payroll numbers. Got an interview with the young lady here in a second that she did with CNBC. Jobless claims, we're going to look at those. And then rate cuts. The current one of the Fed officials now is saying tariffs, I don't think, are going to be as bad as we expect. And he's actually expecting two or more rate cuts this year. So that's what's on the agenda today. So let's get over to the headlines right through here. ADP payroll numbers are just coming out. So let's get over to the wires to see how they're faring. So we're going to the ADP person in charge here and see what her take is on today's news from ADP. So let's take it away.
Data, I want to bring in Neela, who's here. Neela Richardson, ADP's chief economist, who's been keeping these numbers secret. What do you think? How should we actually think about this? The market doing a little bit better, actually, on the back of this.
I think what we've seen...
But that may be a bad news is good news situation.
It's hard to know when you incorporate the Fed. But from our perspective, what we've seen all year is very stable hiring. We saw a peak up in October. This December report definitely represents a downshift from what we saw earlier in the quarter. But it's still a solid number. Pockets of weakness are something to watch. Manufacturing, as you mentioned, shed jobs for three consecutive months. That's concerning. This is a sector that could benefit from a rate cut. It's a very cyclical sector.
Right.
What's doing the heavy lifting in services is no longer leisure and hospitality. We think that game is over.
Over.
It's really healthcare, and healthcare is not cyclical. It's tied to, I think, demographic hiring.
Right.
So you take these two, the good sector and the service sector, services being driven by the demographics and the future of U.S. population, manufacturing, I think, very much focused on the short-term and cyclical interest rates, very different stories in this.
Okay, so if you were to extrapolate out, if you were sitting here in 3 months, though, from now, based on these trends, what do you see happening? Because I think that's what we're really trying to understand.
You know, first of all, I think when you really want to know what's going on in the labor market, you have to shift from jobs to wages, because wages are going to tell the story of what the Fed will do next. And what we saw was a step down in wage growth, particularly for job stayers, 4.6%. That's a very slow pace of job growth. Wage growth,
right,
but not slow enough to be consistent with a 2% inflation target. So that means one of two things. Either wage growth has to come down significantly over the next 3 months for the Fed to feel comfortable cutting rates, or we're going to get into the situation where the Fed has to pause and wait for the labor market to come along with this rate cut.
Did you hear Christopher Waller?
Well, 1 second. I just want to check out these numbers. Total private payroll, 122,000. Goods and production, 10,000. Services, 112. Non-farm payroll, 155. So a decent number there. Just wanted to break those down to see. I thought she would bring up the manufacturing numbers, but she didn't.
There's comments this morning that he's going to be giving in a speech a little later today. I was a little surprised that he still seems to be leaving the door open to several more rate cuts this year.
Given the uncertainty on the policy front, I think leaving the door open is a wise move for the Federal Reserve. And honestly, they've been leaving the door open. Being data dependent is basically saying, I'm opening the doors and the windows and seeing if there's a next data
point.
Although
it feels like the market has been expecting these rate cuts, and they've been trying to maybe talk themselves out of a position where they are expected to cut at every rate meeting. This seems like it was a swing back in the other direction.
6 months ago, I think the foregone conclusion was that the Fed would move like the Fed has moved in the past, which is moderately and consistently every single meeting was a rate cut. They've channeled that may not be the case. There might be pauses on the way. This has been a bumpy deceleration in wage growth. I believe it'll be a bumpy deceleration in the interest rate as well.
Okay, so bumpy, but because the data's been bumpy too.
Absolutely. We've seen pockets of strength and pockets of weakness in several months. We saw a big surge in hiring in September. Mm-hmm. That really put a pause on what the Fed was going to do next. In my mind, now we're seeing a downshift in job growth, and I think that will also, you know, feed into the Fed's calculations.
Perfect. So that's what she was talking about. When I interrupted real quick, She did say that Waller, they mentioned Waller, so that's the next topic we wanted to talk about. This Waller sits on the Federal Reserve, so Federal Reserve Waller backs more rate cuts than proposed. So he's saying the tariffs aren't going to be as impactful as they think, but folks, we're never going to know until it really truly happens, and then we live it. Okay, so what he's saying right here is tariffs are taxes on imports, and most economists think that it will result in higher prices for Americans. And then it's he kind of broke silence and said, well, at their last month's meeting, Fed officials penciled in only 0.25% rate cuts this year. What they're saying is inflation is not really going to get down to 2% until 2027. So they're expecting it to trickle up a little bit to 2.5. So don't be surprised you start seeing inflation trickle back up to 2, 3, 4, 5. And then, you know, kind of move from there. But the young lady had a great comments about wage growth. So that's something to focus in on. Wage growth, if you stayed at your job, you got a 3 or 4% increase in your wages. If you move jobs, the average person got 7%. And even with inflation at 3, let's say inflation's at 3%, you're still making more, not much more, than you were previously. So it's keeping up or outpacing inflation just by a hair. So that's all in that article. Let's get over to the CME Fed Watch tool, and I made a comment the other day on this video, how accurate is this thing? Well, this is completely data dependent on the Fed. So that's what the Federal Reserve, you know, it monitors what the Federal Reserve is going to do, and every time a new data point comes out, these things have to change. So that's why I focus in on this, just to give us an idea what's expected. So right now, we're the federal funds rate, that's what the Federal Reserve controls. It's at 4.25 to 4.5 right now. So they're saying it's going to stay there for a while. There might be no changes. There's not a 50% change on this or on any rate cuts until at least May. So that's a bit surprising than where it was. So let's get over to the broad markets on the equity markets. It's giving back this morning. As soon as the ADP payroll numbers hit, everything was kind of flat and went a little bit on the green side. But right now, everything just flipped. Dow Jones is down again, continued to deteriorate. S&P's down. NASDAQ up just a little bit. But you usually don't see the NASDAQ just completely flat. Oil's up again at $74 a barrel, almost 75. That's going to be inflationary. And the 10-year treasury is just shy of 4.7. We're looking at a 4.75 handle on the 10-year. If it hits that, I don't know where the next stop's going to be, but we can't get it to 4.75 like oil. We really don't want oil over $70 a barrel. Heck, we'd love $50 a barrel, just like we'd like the 10-year treasury at like 2, 3%. But we all don't always get what we ask for. So that's what's in the news today. So I mentioned earlier, if you have, you know, the criteria of getting these rates, well, get them. Call me up. Let's get working on you. But if you've decided to buy a house in 2025, imagine if you can have one application, one credit pool, and you're going to be shopped to dozens of mortgage lenders. So here's what I am. I'm a loan officer at ServBank. We're the 10th largest mortgage servicer in the whole country. We're also a large mortgage brokerage. So just think about applying with us. You're actually applying at a bank and also a broker at the same time. Very unique. So that's what we do here. This makes me licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. So I'm out here and I'm on your side to help you out. So if you want to get involved in trying to find, do you qualify for a house this year? Maybe you're looking at some numbers to refinance. It might make sense to you. So that's what we're trying to focus in on this year. So if you're looking to buy in this year, or maybe refinance, or maybe even buy that first investment property, reach out to us. We'd love to help. To find us, go to therateupdate.com. There's three things I'd like you to do. Really, one thing I'd really like you to do. If you're ready to put in your application, just click this. Okay, it'll get you launched to our application system and you'll be on your way. But you probably want to know a little bit more about me, my team. We want to know a little bit about you as well. So why not schedule a consultation right through here. This is pretty unique in the industry. We want to get your story and we want to help. Okay. It doesn't matter where in the country you are, we can help you. So you can also reach out to us by email or phone. Just scroll down to the bottom of our website and here it is right through here. You can call us at 844-775-5626 or you can reach me at dan@therateupdate.com. Now, if you're struggling with your credit scores and you'd be like, I don't know. I have one credit score. And then when I go to the car dealership or my mortgage person, they have a completely different credit score. What do I do? How do I figure out what credit scores people are actually using? Well, go to creditscoresandmore.com. Here's right through here. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is we used to have a system throughout our credit agencies that would help you or help us navigate. Let's say, for example, we pulled your credit and your credit scores are 4 points off of the next level of getting you a better rate, what do you do? Well, you know, we used to run this simulator to say, okay, if you do exactly this, this is what would happen. Those are no longer available at our level. So for how do you guys get this? Well, scroll down to here. This is probably going to be one of the best investments you make. Hit the true credit scores right now. It's going to take you to MyFICO. What MyFICO does is your FICO score is the actual score that lenders use. Okay, it's not your Vantage score or anything else. Also, this system has a simulator that I was talking about where you can go in and say, what if I, you know, what if I paid down this credit card for $100 or $200? What would that do for me? Well, this system is going to tell you. So check it out. Go to creditscoresandmore.com to find that and much more data when it comes to your credit bureaus. So that's it for this morning, folks. I hope you enjoy the little bit of a different format that I'm posting out. So later today, I'll have another topic for you when it comes to buying that house or first investment property, some program tips for you and maybe somebody else that you might know. So share these videos if you would. Love to have you as a subscriber. If you're not subscribing yet, please do so right over there. Thank you so much. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.